Jan Vermeulen, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you this afternoon?
Very well, thank you. You are the editor at large, right?
That's correct. Hopefully not too large, but at large.
My broadband. So very, I love talking to you, and I'm sure that Simon does as well. Some of the things we want to talk about, in fact, these are articles that we were going through your website. We say,
Oh, cool. No,
we want to talk about this, and we want to talk about that. We want to talk about that. So one thing that putting tinfoil on windows to stop cell phone signals doesn't work. That has to be the biggest story of the week. What does that mean? What is that?
Well, so this is us poking a little bit of fun, but also replicating an experiment. So what happened was it's some time ago, actually. There were people who were complaining about towers being put up in their area, and they feel that they were bait and switched. They were told that the towers would be used for CCTV and stuff, and instead, you know, suddenly there's MTN branding on it, and it's a cell phone tower. And so there were members of the community who said that, you know, it had made them aggressive, it had made their dogs aggressive. You know, a couple said that they were fighting all the time after years of marital bliss, and so they had trouble sleeping. And so the one gentleman said he put up aluminium foil, tin foil, in the windows of his room, and that helped him sleep better at night. And so we thought, okay, that's a simple enough thing to replicate, and we know it's not going to work because of the science behind it, but we're going to do it anyway.
So that's actually quite funny, because probably the reason that he's sleeping better is because he thought he was taking care of the problem. Not because it was actually taking
a placebo effect and you just killed it.
Yeah, exactly. A placebo effect, or maybe, you know, it made his room darker. So, not as much light pollution into the room. So you sleep better. Blackout curtains, people. Good stuff. So many other, you know, potential reasons for why it might have worked. And I do kind of mention it in the article where I said, you know, at least we can rule out the radio waves being, blocking out of radio waves being contributing to the better sleep. It's definitely something else.
Does anybody in South Africa have a Faraday cage? I mean, if we're really worried about it, why don't we build Faraday cages? Is it possible?
Yes, yeah. So,
do you know
that's
what a Faraday cage is,
it's possible.
For a change, I do know something.
I don't
know. Actually.
Okay, I'm just checking that my co-host knows. Okay, just checking. Okay. So,
absolutely. A Faraday cage is possible. They are difficult though. And a key thing that people forget when they start putting together a Faraday cage is it has to be grounded. It has to be earthed. So it doesn't help you just build a metal cage around your room. And that's it. You have to make sure that it's earthed. Otherwise it doesn't work. And that's, you know, true of other, things that you might be trying to do to try and block your phone from receiving a cell phone signal. If you want to wrap it in foil or shove it in a box or something like that, you have to make sure that the actual metal cage around it is earthed, for it to actually work. If you're going to start playing around with Faraday cages, you know, just make sure that you ground it properly.
So you know what could actually work? I believe that if you take tin foil and you make a helmet out of it, or you could even take a bicycle helmet or a motorbike helmet, one like you wear, Jan, and, you know, cover it in tin foil and put like two little knitting needles standing up at the top.
And how are you going to earth it, Kathy?
Well, you'll just put your feet in the sand and that will prevent any radio waves. Okay, listen, I'm talking nonsense. Let's look at some of the other stories that you'll find on my broadband.
Please, can I mention one? Because this is just so personal, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
The struggle to cancel a telcom account. I have done this. Gosh. I have been there. I'm just fascinated. I haven't read the article. What's the struggle from your side, Jan?
This is
an ongoing problem.
And it's an ongoing problem, and it's been an ongoing problem for months with folks writing in with complaints, struggling to cancel various services. And Telkom said the last time we spoke to them, they had a problem with their cancellation line, And that's why none of those ones have been, people have been having trouble to cancel stuff is because their system for it has been down. It doesn't look like, there's been, much progress in this regard. It's actually quite unfortunate. So Telkom has said that, customers must give the company 30 days notice to process a cancellation. They need to make sure. Now, this is where things get hairy. Obviously, they haven't quite addressed the historical problems with its cancellation system. But if you're canceling a product, you have to make sure that you're sending that cancellation request. You have to be sending the correct form to the correct email address.
Yes, otherwise, but you do all that, and that's what's so amazing, and you get it off. And then their CRM software on the other side is remarkable, because within like 4 minutes, you get a response email with, "We've received your document. Here's your reference number." Listen, you think, wow, this is just so first world. This is ridiculous. This is amazing. And it means absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Yes.
Because three months later, you're still screaming and shouting. So, yes. You know, there's a great system there, but it's doing absolutely nothing.
And I've had the exact inverse experience where I sent a cancellation request, received not a peep from Telkom. No acknowledgement of my email, no phone call, no SMS, nothing to indicate that they had received it, but it got switched off after 30 days. I didn't even receive so much as a reference number. But it did get, it actually did get canceled.
Wow, so I was one of the lucky ones.
So Telkom here alludes to the problem. We contacted them with older cases, and so it said that these two cases that we brought to them were very old, there was an old email system which caused problems in locating requests and not receiving them at all. But now you've got this whole bunch of people whose cancellation requests are stuck in limbo, they logged on the system, but they're not being processed. So now, how do you re-log your cancellation? It's a mess. Folks, the fact that folks are still writing into us to complain that they're struggling to cancel their service. Did you get yours cancelled in the end?
Yeah, I did. I won. I did. I felt like quite a hero, I must tell you.
And did you get your money back?
No, I owed them a bit of money. I took my time paying that though. That I did. I thought, now it's my turn. Nothing, revenge, what is that? Sweet and good.
Best served cold.
Best served cold.
Wow, that one I didn't know, but yeah, I enjoyed that. Jan, tell me something else. Tell me about the story on your website about South Africans making money from Airbnb.
A ton of money.
As hyperbolic as that headline sounds, that's not clickbait. So since Airbnb has been generally available in South Africa, since it's been founded in 2008, hosts in South Africa have earned $4 billion through the platform, which is a decent chunk of change to add to our GDP, I think.
Has any of that got to SARS? Or is that undeclared back pocket stuff?
No,
can
well,
we just move
I mean,
on
it has
and
to
just
go through a bank account.
How they doing
valid
it?
Valid question. But it has to go through a bank account. So if you're going to try to hide that from SARS, you're going to have to do some interesting shenanigans with your bank account. Cities like Cape Town are cracking down on this quite heavily, where if you have certain kinds of Airbnbs, you have to register it with the local tourism departments and get approval to actually run it. So there's no Wild West era for Airbnb is over. Folks are still using it, and I think it's still working well for them. You just have to make sure you fall within the bylaws of your, respective local governments, so that they don't fine you or shut you down. It's been good, for folks in South Africa. There's been some criticism of it, especially in Cape Town. The reality is that these services are part of our modern economy now.
Necessary and required. Jan, I'm sorry to be rude and interrupt, but that's where we have to leave it for today. We'll speak to you next week.
Absolutely next week.
Next week.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. God bless Jan. Bye-bye. That's Jan Vermeulen. He is the editor-at-large for mybroadband.co.za.